as we make our way towards 6 o'clock tonight. But up first, as always, on Friday afternoon, time to talk Black Bear football. It's the game plan. Brought to you by Creative Print Services, located on the Dowd Road in Bangor. With full-service design, print, marketing, mailing, and billing, visit creative-ps.com. And by ClearPoint Capital, call Mike Toole at 307-7718. Well, it is another border battle, this time in football, tomorrow afternoon as the Black Bears wrap up their season by hosting the New Hampshire Wildcats. And here to lay out the game plan for us, my broadcast partner, Bob Lucy. Hello there, Robert.
Hello, Richard. How are you doing on this rainy day?
Oh, just wonderful. Ready to wrap things up tomorrow for the Black Bears, a final game of the season, and a whole lot on the line. We'll talk about that in a little bit. First, let's go back to last week. It was a case of missed opportunities for Maine, and none bigger than that situation where they had a third down and goal at the one-yard line and not only came away with no points, but gave the ball away.
Yeah, Rich, they had the penalty. They took too much time. They got moved back 5 yards and then, unfortunately, threw a pick in the end zone. And that was a 14-point swing. It was really a momentum changer. And I thought the difference between the first half and the second half against Elon was Elon got their ground game going, and they outrushed Maine in the second half, 129 yards to only 6 yards rushing for Maine.
Yeah, Maine never got their ground game going, and really it didn't even attempt it much. I believe Maine's two running backs only combined for 14 carries last week.
Yeah, correct. And that's one thing, as we know, that's going to be really important tomorrow. Maine needs to have a productive run game for four quarters, and that's just something that will help balance their offense. They need that good run-pass mix. It's interesting, Rich, because doing a little bit of work here for this game, over the Black Bears' last four losses, Maine is only averaging 17 rushing yards in the second half.
Ouch.
And again, that hurts them in terms of just that balance, you know, run-pass mix, particularly in that second half.
Well, the Black Bears enter the game 5-6 overall, 3-4 in conference play. So obviously a win would be huge, 500 in both the conference and the regular season. And there's a big difference in the way people view, I think, a 5-7 season or a 6-6 season.
Yeah, I would agree, Rich. Maine has an awful lot to play for, and so does New Hampshire, obviously. They've got a chance to get in the playoffs. But for Maine, this would be a great opportunity to get that musket back and to end on a positive note and take this momentum right into their offseason.
Yeah, New Hampshire, you mentioned, they've got a shot at the playoffs. I think they're in if they win. New Hampshire 7-4 overall, 5-2 in the CAA. So what would likely, I think absolutely, be in with a victory, but a loss, I don't see much chance that a 7-5 New Hampshire team could make the postseason.
I think it would be a struggle. They'd certainly be on the bubble if they lose tomorrow. And, you know, both teams want this game very badly, and both teams take a lot of pride in that musket and also a lot of pride, you know, in just playing their best at the end of the season. And I think it's a rivalry where both teams respect each other, but both teams are very hungry and want to finish this on a good note by getting that musket back and moving forward.
Bob Lucy joining us for the game plan here on Downtown. Well, let's start with the offense. The Black Bears, as you said, not really able to generate much on the ground. Maine averaging 115 rushing yards for the season. They would like to get, I'm sure, both Brian Santana and Jahari Martin on track tomorrow against a New Hampshire team that's giving up about 147 rushing yards per game.
Yeah, I think the defense has played really pretty solid all year, Rich. When you look at, you know, you mentioned the 147.4 rushing yards that they're allowing. They're also only allowing 22 points per game. They're very good in the red zone. Teams have only scored 17 of 37 touchdowns. So, again, they're only getting touchdowns against their defense when they get into the red zone 45.9% of the time. They've racked up 31 sacks, 57 tackles for a loss. They've been very good on third down defense. only allowing their opponents to convert 33.33%. So I think, you know, Maine is going to have to be well-balanced on offense, and it's so critical, as we've talked about, that they get that ground game going and keep it going for 60 minutes.
Well, the Black Bear O-line will have their hands full with one of the best defensive linemen in the conference in Josiah Silver.
Yeah, Rich, he's outstanding. There's no question about it. And they've got a lot of guys on defense that are playmakers. Josiah Silver, over his career, 235 tackles, 64 tackles for a loss, 37 and a half sacks, 9 forced fumbles, and he's blocked 3 kicks. You know, he's a guy that he's done it all, really. You know, he's been a All-American, an All-New England player, first-team All-CAA player, a Jerry Rice Award finalist, CAA Defensive Rookie of the Year. You know, he's a special player. And the other defensive end is an outstanding player, too, Lex Ruiz. 6'1", 260 pounds senior. He's got 33 and a half tackles for a loss over his career, 23 sacks. He's having a good year this year, 11 tackles for a loss and 7 sacks. So those two guys on the edge are problematic.
Yeah, and some pretty talented guys in the secondary, too, and some familiar names like Noah Stansbury, 43 tackles, an interception, 9 pass breakups on the year. Caleb Mead, who's got 7 breakups, and guys like Owens, the transfer from Yale, who leads the team with 97 tackles this year.
Yeah, he's a special player, Rich. He was an outstanding player at Yale. He was a first-team All-Ivy League player at Yale, helped lead them to a championship in 2023. It was all New England. You know, and he's a guy that's racked up. If you put his stats from Yale into the stats from New Hampshire, he's got 262 career tackles, 15 and a half tackles for a loss. He's a playmaker. 97 tackles this season is a lot of tackles for a weak safety.
When you look at New Hampshire's offense, in many ways, it's like looking at Maine's. They have struggled to generate a consistent ground game, averaging only 86 rushing yards per game, but they've got a pretty efficient quarterback in the VMI transfer, Seth Morgan.
Yeah, he's been impressive, Rich. He's thrown for 2,147 yards. That's the third best in the CAA. Got 22 touchdown passes this year, only 6 interceptions. Completing 66% of his passes. He doesn't have a lot of rushing yards, 41 rushes for negative 58 yards and a touchdown, but he's got a lot of experience. You know, when you look at the VMI bio, he threw for over 5,000 yards at VMI, was the SoCon Freshman of the Year, and a member of 2 conference championship teams. Then he went to Shepherd University, which is a Division II school in West Virginia, and had a great year there in 2023. And, you know, again, he's done great things this year at New Hampshire. Over his career right now, going into this game, Rich, he's thrown for 9,964 passing yards.
Well, he's got some big targets, none bigger than Logan Tomlinson, the grad student, a transfer from Wesleyan, who's got 73 catches for 789 yards on the season.
Well, you said big, and he's big. 6'3", 212 pounds, third-team All-CAA last year, and you know, great stats this year, as you mentioned. 789 receiving yards, 9 touchdowns, averaging 10.8 yards per reception. Looked at his career numbers, walked back over his years at Wesleyan, which is a Division III program, Rich, and he's put up some eye-dropping numbers. 246 career receptions for 3,228 yards and 31 touchdowns over his college career. So he's going to be a difficult guy for Maine to defend, but Maine's going to have to do it if they're going to get a win.
Well, some familiar faces out there as well with Joey Corcoran and Caleb Burke. But in their effort to generate a running game, they do have some confidence in a young redshirt freshman out of Bellwood, Illinois, Denzel Gibson.
Yeah, he played very well against Stony Brook. He had 108 all-purpose yards. He was named the CAA Rookie of the Week. He scored a touchdown in the fourth quarter, a 2-yard run. And on the season, you know, he's done a nice job. 70 rushes for 288 yards, two touchdowns. He's also got seven receptions for 56 yards. And so he played very well against Stony Brook. They were behind in the fourth quarter by 20 points, and New Hampshire scored three touchdowns in 6 minutes and 9 seconds to get the win.
Well, the Black Bear defense will be led by the guy that I don't think he's had a bad game this season. Talking about Xavier Holmes, who leads the team, 63 tackles, 11 and a half tackles for a loss, and he's just always there in the middle of big defensive plays.
Yeah, he really is, Rich. He can do it all. He goes 100 miles an hour on every play. And I really think that we're going to see a great game by Maine tomorrow. I think they're hungry. I think they want that musket back. And I think they're going to play very well defensively, offensively, special team-wise. It should be a very interesting game. And Xavier Holmes, as you know, he'll be right in the mix. If Maine can stop the ground game of New Hampshire and put them into that one-dimensional situation and then turn the heat and pressure up in that passing pocket, I think good things will happen. And it's interesting because when I look at stats, over the last four games, Maine only has a total of three sacks and a total of three forced turnovers. But when you look at Maine's wins, over those last four wins, the Black Bears have a plus 10 turnover margin, and in their last four losses, a minus 5 turnover margin. So we know how important that is for Maine to be able to run the ball and defend the run and then put that pressure on the passing pocket and force those turnovers and get those sacks. That's going to be important.
Well, I don't know how well anyone's going to be able to throw the ball tomorrow. The forecast right now, rain and wind, 43 degrees, winds out of the north, 20 to 30 miles per hour with gusts over 40 and nearly an inch of rain tomorrow.
Wow, that sounds like the Southeaster back in 2006 at Rhode Island.
Fortunately, we're on turf, so that helps a little bit.
Yeah. You know something else, Rich, that's interesting? In the last two games, New Hampshire has really controlled the clock against their opponents. They had 41 minutes and 37 seconds of possession time against Monmouth and 35 minutes and 5 seconds of possession time against Stony Brook. So that's one of the things that they've done to try to keep the ball away from their opponent and limit their scoring opportunities. So Maine needs to do a good job controlling the clock. And then there's the penalties. You know, sometimes Maine has had those costly penalties, but overall they've done a pretty good job with penalties this year, only allowing or only averaging 50.5 penalty yards per game. But New Hampshire is only allowing 37.36 penalty yards per game. That's the eighth best in the FCS in terms of fewest penalties.
Last time New Hampshire came to Maine, it was one of the most difficult losses I think we've seen a Black Bears team take, losing in overtime to UNH.
Yeah, 42-41. Maine racked up 538 total yards in that game, Rich, and 336 rushing yards in that game and still lost the game. Maine is 2-3 against UNH since 2018. Maine won that game in 2018, as you remember, at the beginning of the season, 35-7. And then Maine beat New Hampshire in 2021, 33-20. What's interesting about the games are, as you just mentioned, in 2022, Maine had 336 rushing yards in that game, but last year, in 2023, in a 45-25 loss at New Hampshire, Maine only had 31 yards rushing. So, again, that balance, run-pass, is going to be really important.
I would be remiss, Robert, if I did not get a little historical perspective and ask you to discuss briefly Ebenezer Nutting's role in tomorrow's game.
Well, the musket that they're playing for tomorrow is a flintlock rifle, and it was made by Ebenezer Nutting of Falmouth, Maine, between 1722 and 1745. Apparently, they've never really been able to identify the specific year, Richard, but there's a range of 1722 to 1745.
I hope they keep the musket in some sort of waterproof covering tomorrow. I don't want to. That's an old gun. I don't want to damage that thing in the bad weather tomorrow.
Well, that's true, Rich. That is a concern. I think we've seen it before in the end zone on a table, where both teams are kind of salivating, you know, and ready to get that during the course of the game. But I'm not sure. It may be under lock and key on the New Hampshire sideline.
Well, we'll all see tomorrow afternoon. It's a 1 o'clock start, Maine and New Hampshire. The season finale for the Black Bears, the battle for that Bryce Cowell musket. Robert, thanks as always for breaking it down for us, and we'll see you in the morning.
All right. My pleasure, Rich.
That's Bob Lucy, the game plan. Black Bear football against New Hampshire tomorrow. It's brought to you by Creative Print Services on the Dowd Road in Bangor. With full-service design, print, marketing, mailing, and billing, visit creative-ps.com. And by ClearPoint Capital, call Mike Toole at 307-7718.